It was a few years ago. God bless you all. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Not everyone was here last week, so this is kind of a continuation of last week's sermon. But I'll catch you up to speed a little bit on that. But those of you who don't know me, I think I met just about everyone here. But me and my family, we live in the parsonage behind that we purchased from Bethel, and it's been a wonderful time there. And we're looking to purchase the building here from you all in the very, very near future. Amen. And so God's been good to us. You know, He's been faithful to the congregation. We meet here at 9:30. As always, any of you are welcome to come join and double dip, as Brother Ralph DeGroat is doing this morning. Going to hear the same sermon twice. Amen. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians 3. And if I titled this sermon anything, it would be "Put to Death, Therefore." Put to death, therefore. And we're going to see why. Colossians 3, 5, and 10. "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And those you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator." This is God's word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, holy is your name. We thank you for this opportunity to turn to your word. It is our truth. It is our source of strength and direction for all things in this life, O God. And we just pray now that your Holy Spirit would come and would illuminate these words to our hearts through faith, O God, that you might reveal exactly to us what you'd have us receive today. And as I often pray, Lord, give us the courage enough to walk out in faith that which you reveal to us by your word today and every day, God. We'll give you glory and honor and praise for what you do in your house, for your name is the only name that deserves that honor and glory. And so, God, come and speak and breathe life upon us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Therefore, put to death, or put to death, therefore. Anytime you see in the scripture, therefore, ask yourself, what is it therefore? It is there for a reason, and the reason is connected to the verses that we read last week. So let's remind ourselves of these verses, because that transitions us to the idea of put to death, therefore. We reviewed Colossians 3, 1 and 4. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Amen? So you're here today. I hope and believe that you all have been raised with Christ. Amen? You believe on him for the forgiveness of your sins. Therefore, you've been raised with him, and we're called, according to Colossians 3, 1 through 4, to have our minds fixed on this image of heaven at all times, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and to fix our gaze upon him in such a way that it sets our minds on the things of God at all times, and therefore it unbinds us from the things of this earth. Amen? And from there, we understand we have died, and now my entire life is hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. That is Christianity 101. You have died. Amen?
Amen.
And you are dying daily. You are dying daily. You have died. You have denied yourself. You have picked up your cross daily. And you have now decided to follow Christ. So we continue to die. So when we understand this and we have our eyes fixed on Christ, who completed this work on our behalf, as we learn to commune with him daily in his word, and he renews our hearts and our minds, we are reminded to put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. You want to know what's earthly in you? Paul tells us: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Okay, this is very interesting language that Paul the Apostle is using. He labels all those sins, sexual morality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, and he's reminding us that because these sinful actions exist, the wrath of God is coming. God is going to come to deal with sinful man. Now, the word here used for the wrath in this specific text is the Greek word implying the wrath of God that will be poured out on sinful humanity at the end of the age when the Lord returns on his day. Amen? Amen. So it's interesting because this is not a wrath that any child of God will ever endure. Amen? We've been set free from that. Christ absorbed the wrath of God on the cross. So he's speaking to believers. He's speaking to people who know that the wrath of God is not upon them, but he's warning them of the wrath to come. Think about that. This is Paul, the one who wholeheartedly believes and preaches and teaches predestination, the doctrine of adoption and election. This is Paul, who knows all these truths, but reminding us that the wrath of God is coming, and it's going to deal with those who are defined by what? The acts of the flesh, sexual morality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness. So Paul, what are you doing here? Are you fear-mongering? No. Are you trying to scare people into the kingdom? No, it's an impossibility. That can't be done. Paul here is using such strong language, not because one can lose their salvation, but because he's reminding us that if we truly belong to Christ, if we truly profess and confess this faith in the Lord Jesus, we should be fleeing from those desires that are natural in the flesh. Amen? We should want to be so close to the Lord that we're being purified on a regular basis so no one could ever identify us with that old and dead man. Amen? And so this is consistent throughout Pauline theology. If you look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 11, it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither will the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And then he says, "And such were some of you." Amen? Amen? "Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. Amen. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So consistent with Paul's theology is a reminder of who you used to be, the practices that you used to have, but you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, he's given you the power to put to death all of the practices that once defined you. Now, if you look at verse 7 and 8 of our text, it's the same language, just summarized a little bit. "In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away." Amen? Put them all away. So let's look at verse 5 at the top again. "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Now, if you look at many of those words in the beginning there, they're all related. Sexual morality, impurity, passion simply means lustful passion. These are all talking about sexual sins specifically. The word for sexual immorality is porneia, which takes on every form of sexuality outside of the covenant of marriage between one man and one woman before God. Lust, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, and all other forms of sexual misconduct. He emphasizes that. Why? Because it seems to be that the human condition struggles the most with what? Sexual sins. Yes. And so he's emphasizing that here, that you don't be defined by those things. And he talks about something else, evil desire. This is simply wrong or bad cravings, craving the thing that is opposed to what God's word has made clear. Covetousness, this is greediness, which is idolatry, wanting what someone else has in a bad way, wanting the life that someone else is living, wanting the bank account that someone else has, wanting the prosperity that God hasn't assigned to you, covetousness. So in summation, put to death sexual sin, evil or ungodly cravings, and a covetous heart. Put them to death. These are all desires that move us to engage in activity outside of the boundaries that God has given us. Amen? But before he lets us off the hook here, starts giving us some hope, he reminds us of some more sin. Look at verses 8 and 9. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. See what Paul is doing here? He's getting at the heart of the matter. He's saying sin is not just those outward, obvious things you're engaging in, but it's also a matter of the heart. The anger that God wants to deal with, the wrath that God wants to deal with, the slander, the malice, those behaviors that are coming and flowing from the heart. So now he's adding more things to the list. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, lying. These are all part of the old man. And if that's not enough, he really brings this list to a fuller picture in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, Paul really identifies the acts of the flesh. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalries, dissensions, when you start talking to other church members about another church member and you start creating these little divisions and subcultures within the church, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you as I did before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen?
This is not religion. Paul's theology is giving us a clear call of all of these acts of the flesh. They go on and on. We know about them. They come natural to us. If we're left to ourselves, we fall right back into the old man and the old practices. We know how the story goes on. But he says, put to death therefore. Amen? So these things are real. They're prevalent. They're what comes natural to us, but he calls us to put them to death. Let me tell you something, beloved. The Lord will never call you to put something to death that he hasn't equipped you with the power to do. Amen? He's going to give you what you need. He's given you what you need, and he's going to help you put it to death. You're maybe not where you need to be, but hopefully you're not who you used to be. Amen?
Amen.
God's working. He's moving. He's helping you put to death that old man and that old woman that rises up within us at times, right? So how in the world do we put to death the very thing that comes so natural to us, the flesh? It's so simple, it's offensive. But it's so simple, yet we struggle so much with doing it. So turn with me to Ephesians 6, 17. I want to make the connection here. Ephesians 6, 17. I love the sound of scriptures, pages being turned. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing like a physical Bible. I'm not hating on the electronic Bibles. I got both, but nothing like the turning of pages. Ephesians 6, 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword. Who can tell me what a sword is? It's a weapon. To what? Kill. What do you call to kill that flesh? Put to death. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Your only offensive weapon to fight your flesh is the word of God, which is why the enemy wages such warfare to keep you from the word of God. Because he is not ignorant as to what will save you, redeem you, and set you free from all the things in your flesh. So that's why it's such a struggle. Now, we spoke last week about the importance of God's word. Amen? Your devotional life, growing in intimacy. You're not just called to listen to the word of God in church on Sunday morning. Amen. You're not just called to show up to Bible study midweek. You are called to cherish and glory in the word of the Lord every single day so that it becomes the joy and delight of your heart and life. Amen?
Amen.
I want to break this down to you in a way so that you could accept it theologically and then experience it practically. So what does taking up this weapon daily look like, and how does it work in putting to death your flesh? That is the question. Well, first of all, you have to accept what the word of God is. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, amen? And the word was with God, and the word was God. And then in John 1:14, he reminds us, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word of God is the spoken word of God. God in the beginning spoke and the world came into existence. Amen? Then he spoke to us through the prophets of old, and he spoke to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he spoke to us through the apostles, and he spoke and gave us the word as the weapon of our warfare in this perfect, completed version to have power and authority in our life to fight the flesh and the desires that rise up within us. And so if you're lacking in faith today, what ought you do? If you're hearing me and you're saying, I agree with you, but I don't necessarily experience this, what are you to do? Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Amen. Faith is deposited in your soul in greater measure every time you commune in the presence of Jesus, every time you get into this word, every time you set your heart on seeking the Lord, he begins to deposit a greater measure of faith. And faith, when it's working within you, empowers you to actually live out what God's word commands. Amen. Through the faith and the power of God. His word is enough. His word is enough. Amen. It is the sword. It is the power to put to death those things that are creeping up within you. The old man's creepy.
Amen.
You got to put him to death. You got to put him to death. James 1:21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. See, there is a clear contrast between the word of God implanted in us and the natural progression of the flesh. When the word of God feeds your spirit, you begin to starve your flesh. And when you starve your flesh long enough, you know what happens? When you starve anything long enough, you know what happens? Death occurs. See, the more time in the Spirit, in the Word of God, the more I'm starving that flesh, and the more that I starve that flesh, the quicker he dies. And when that flesh dies, your desire is replaced with a sanctified desire by the Word of God, which frees you to live a life of purpose, full of joy in the will and the power of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Have you experienced that today? Are you experiencing that today? Do you want to experience that today? God can do it.
Amen.
He is able. I've seen him help many a men and women conquer all of their sins and all of their struggles by the power of God's word.
Amen.
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is what? Living and active. You believe that or you don't? I told you last week, we need more believing believers. You know what that means? Believers who believe what the word of God says. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged what? Sword. Wow. That word sword. That weapon. And he says, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. See the effect of the word of God? It is alive and active. There is no other document living in the world that is alive and active. Only the word of God through believers has transforming power that no matter how many times you approach it, no matter how many times you read it, no matter how much you commune, God has a fresh and living word for your soul that is power to transform your life. See what the writer of Hebrews says? He says, the word of God is a sword that divides soul and spirit from joints and marrow. In other words, the implanted word has the power to separate that spirit man from that flesh man. The word of God has the power to begin to do warfare in your heart every time you approach it, filling you with faith and joy and purpose in the desires of God. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to be set free from this old man? Who doesn't want to be set free from those sins that keep trying to creep up in our life? Only by the power and the word of God. There's another supporting verse for you. It's found in Ephesians 5, 25 and 27. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Now I want to pause there for a moment. There's a deeper meaning, but on the surface, Paul's encouraging the men, isn't he? He's saying, listen, don't point at your wife and see all of her flaws. You have a job to do, sir. Your job is to be in communion with the Lord Jesus. Your job is to be growing in the word of God. Your job is to be submitted to Christ so that why? You can cleanse your wife. You can sanctify her. How? By washing her with the word, by teaching her how to hear from Jesus the same way you do, by showing her the way so that God can cleanse her and she can be presented without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But Paul says this is not just for husband and wife, because this is an imagery of Jesus and his bride. Amen? Jesus being the head of the church, the bride being the body. He says, I will sanctify her how? Through the washing of water with the word, so that he can present us without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now, beloved, in one sense, we won't see this until he returns. But in another sense, there's the reality that God wants to purify his church today. Amen? God wants to do such a work in each and every single one of our lives so that when people walk through these doors, when a guest comes in or someone that you invite, a family member, a friend who has never heard the gospel, they don't see a church that's all fragmented and divided and stuck in their sin, but they see the saints of God that have risen up and strengthened themselves, and they're walking in a way that they're seeing a demonstration of the gospel right before their very eyes. Amen. Then we'll see the power in our midst. Then we'll see revival when we each take our responsibility in the body and say, I'm supposed to be one with the Lord Jesus. I'm supposed to allow his word to cleanse me every single day so that, you know what? When I come to church, I don't need an encouraging word. I am the encouraging word. I don't need another sermon to lift me up, but I come into the house lifting the brother or sister up next to me because I have to tell you what the Lord's doing in my heart. Amen? Mature, sanctified, set apart so we don't come in here weak and defeated and depleted, but we come in here with a fresh touch from the Lord. Hallelujah. What a day that would be. I believe the Lord for it, or I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be faithful to the call in ministry. God is calling us. He's calling. He said, I will give you shepherds after my own heart. Amen. And he's given you one here in Ron Blankley. Amen. And he's going to continue to walk in that and lead you guys in that to help you become who God's called you to be. Amen. Psalm 16, I know I speak very fast compared to Ron. That's my speed. I'm sorry. Take notes. They're going to look like my kids' notes. Scribble, scrabble. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. And in your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore of David. Remember, beloved, that in the kingdom, what you receive is greater than what it costs you. In the kingdom of God, what you receive is greater than what it costs you. When the Lord called me, I had to die so many deaths, to so many desires, to so many acts of the flesh that I thought were worth it. And as I learned to die, I received the fullness of joy. I tasted eternal pleasures at his right hand. And I understood that the Lord's true purpose for my life was greater than anything I could ever produce for myself. Amen? So remember that though this fight is not easy, it's worth it. What you sacrifice for the kingdom, the Lord will repay over and over. Amen? Romans 8:6, for the mind set on the flesh is death. You tormented today, going through hardships today, can't seem to have any relief. Maybe, just maybe, your mind is set on the flesh. Maybe you're still submitting to those old ways and those old practices, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Amen?
Amen.
You stay in your flesh, you set your mind on the flesh, you're going to be conflicted, you're going to be tormented, and you're going to be constantly unsatisfied. Because how can a loving God who has set you apart ever allow you to find happiness in the flesh? That would be unloving. But the life set on the Spirit, which is to be set on the Word of God, is peace and joy and purpose. He wants to wash you in that day after day after day. You notice what I haven't done? I haven't told you, how do I put to death sexual sin? Do A, B, and C. How do I put to death evil desires? Do A, B, and C. Why have I not done that today? Because the Word of God is clear. Allow God to sanctify you. Allow His Word to do His work in your heart. Allow Him to burn away the impurities and to give you the encouragement to walk in the newness of life. 1 Peter 4:1-2. Since therefore Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. So where do you find yourself today, beloved? Do you find yourself in the flesh suffering as you try to deal with the lingering desires of the flesh? Well, you're in good company with saints all around the world. And you're in good company with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who suffered in his flesh to empower you to overcome yours. Amen? Embrace that. Submit to that. Submit to this walk with the Lord. So in conclusion, set your mind and your heart on the Spirit of God. Take up your weapon, which is the Word of God, and allow God's Word to convict you, causing you to starve the flesh with its desires, and in turn, you will receive life and peace. In return, He will fill your heart with joy, eternal pleasures, peace, and purpose. He will do such a cleansing and sanctifying work in you that you will say, how did I ever live in that flesh? Beloved, let us walk diligently in the Word daily, and let us see victorious, faith-filled Christians completing their purpose on this earth. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father in heaven, holy is your name. We thank you for your Word that is indeed alive and active. It is working within us. I thank you for this wonderful and blessed congregation, and I thank you for the privilege and honor as it is to share the Word with them. And I pray, Lord, for those of us who are hearing this today and we're aware of some of these struggles that we're having, God, and we want to see the victory, Lord. We want to overcome by your Spirit. I just pray that you would encourage and equip every person here today to walk out in faith what was shared from your Word, oh God. That Bethel Christian Fellowship would be a fellowship full of victorious Christians striving and walking in the ways of the Lord. God, I pray a blessing over every person and household that is represented here today, God, that you would just continue to encourage them and keep them and strengthen them. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to help us to grow in this relationship with one another, Lord. We pray all these things unto you, who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or think, according to your power that is working within us. Which means, Lord, we might not even have faith to believe some of these things, but your spirit is greater, Lord, than our doubts at times. So fill them today, strengthen them. And Lord, be with us in our discussion time. May the conversation continue, and may we stay encouraged in your word. We pray all this unto you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.